From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of September, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason in the field again today, so there may be some interruptions along the way, but bear with me on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk to Wayne Nelson, of course, of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana today, along with Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University Extension. He'll help us explore what's happening in the world of the ethanol market. And I'll ask him about the wheat crop there and how sowing is about to progress in that state, the number one wheat producing state in the nation. And then as we wrap up our time together, Don Day will be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, with a harvest forecast for the Midwest on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, and you participate in the process here. About 40% of our budget comes from you, our listeners. So I'll be reminding you as well to visit this website, willgive.org, willgive.org, or to dial in with your pledge of financial support. Don't wait, do it right now at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, big W-I-L-L.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hello, Wayne. Thank you on this fall pledge drive week here at Illinois Public Media for all the service that you've given over the better part of three decades, maybe longer than that. Thank you for being with us all of that time.
Hey, it's been a real pleasure and a lot of fun to work with all the different people at WILL. You know, just got my alumni magazine yesterday, and what a nice write-up about WILL. And kudos to mentioning Todd's name in there. And it was just a real thrill to sit down last night and read that about four-page article. A lot of history there.
Yeah, there's, you know, our alumni magazine from the University of Illinois, if you're donate to WILL and you're a friend of WILL, the Patterns magazine, kind of hit it this fall out of the park with three articles really about ag, and it's been fantastic. I do need to check with you, though, on a different subject. What's been happening in the marketplace? It was a turnaround Tuesday.
It's been a turnaround Tuesday. We have faded a little bit from early this morning. You know, the December corn opened last night 666 and a quarter. It went to 70.78. But we have faded back now to 668 and three quarters, up 2.5. But still an up day after yesterday being sort of a down day. And then, of course, the you know, the outside markets have not treated us kindly, but today the dollar was down a little bit, and the crude was up a little bit. So we're having, you know, a little bit of a turnaround Tuesday as we go, but not quite as strong as we were earlier in the day. So the managed funds bought like 7,000 wheat, 5,000 beans, and 7,000 corn to run the market up this morning.
I should remind folks, because I'm in the field on the farm in Logan County, we are recording early. This is over the noon hour. One other thing, corn here is actually pretty darn good. What are you hearing for yields around the Midwest?
You know, around the Midwest, we're hearing you know, a lot of beans being harvested here as of late. We've had a fair amount in the 70s. The majority of our beans, I'm going to say 70% of them are running probably 60 to 67 bushels over here like that. And boy, they're flying out of the fields over here. Tremendous progress being made. Bean fields, as you go for a drive, why there were beans yesterday there, it's an empty field today. So, but that's going good. Very, very little corn happening over here. Most of it's still a little bit wet. What we have heard in corn as far as the silage appraisals and a few other places has been in the 240 bracket.
Yeah, so here in Logan County, corn came out yesterday 20 on the first number. That was the bulk of that 100 acres, and about 23% on the last part of it, 19% on the corn we're in today. And as Matt Bennett made note last week when we talked to him, he's in Shelby County, Illinois, and was shucking corn. Things have been dropping about a point a day, so pay attention. It's coming off fast, and there's a nice little wind out there today, a little sunshine. Things will move quickly. I will make note here, Wayne, that people won't hear as much of the noise from the harvest during our conversation today. That's just a difference about how many trucks are actually at the elevator. So we're having to wait for the semis to get back to us. And we're 10 minutes farther out than we were yesterday, too. So there's some movement across the Midwest, that's for sure.
Yeah, lots of I had some farmers yesterday that were hauling in. They had a contract due yesterday at the elevator. They needed to get 20,000 bushel in, and they were taking the lines got long enough so they could keep running. They were doing every other load to the elevator because that truck would get stuck in line, and they were taking the other load home to the bin just so they could keep running and moving in the field. And they were just like you. The moisture was getting down there, but the lines were getting long at the elevator.
Anything final to say before I let you go for the day?
You know, just everybody be careful. Watch out for the farmers out there. And if you get a chance, make a call to WILL and help donate and help our agricultural marketing programs that are free to you all year long.
Hey, thank you much, Wayne. Again, that's 217-244-9455, WILLgive.org. The semi rolled in. I have to dump a load here. So thanks much, Wayne. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Todd.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 92% of the corn crop around the nation has dented, 58% of the crop has reached maturity, 61% is the rolling five-year average, and 12% of the crop is now harvested, 14% is the five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves at 63% compared to the five-year average is 65%. Harvest is 8% along, 13% is the rolling five-year average, and the condition of the soybean crop, 46% good, 9% excellent, the same as last week. Winter wheat planted has progressed to 31%. The five-year average is 30%, and the emergence at 9% is ahead of the five-year average, which is normally 6%. Now here are the statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Fieldwork included harvesting row crops, chopping silage, and cutting hay. Corn in the dense stage or beyond was 97%, 1 week ahead of the five-year average. 63% of Iowa's corn crop was mature or beyond, 2 days behind last year, but 1 day ahead of the average. Harvest of the state's corn crop was 5% complete, 5 days behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Corn condition remained 64% good to excellent. 90% of soybeans were coloring or beyond, 3 days behind last year. Soybeans dropping leaves or beyond were at 61%, 3 days behind last year and 1 day behind the five-year average. Soybean harvest reached 7%, 4 days behind last year and 3 days behind the average. Soybean condition rated 62% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was warm across Illinois and wetter than average across the middle of the state. Rainfall averaged 88 one-hundredths of an inch across the prairie state, and that was slightly above normal. Northern and southern parts of Illinois were drier than normal, and the rest of the state received above average rainfall. Temperatures averaged 68.3 degrees, more than 6 degrees above normal for this time of year. 63% of soybean acres were dropping leaves compared to 64% 1 year ago and 57% for the five-year average. 2% of soybean acres have been harvested compared to 10% normally. Soybean conditions were nearly unchanged at 11% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 66% good to excellent. 81% of Illinois corn acres have reached the dent stage compared to 97% last year and 94% normally. 47% of corn acres are mature compared to 66% normally, and 6% of Illinois corn acres have been harvested compared to 16% normally. The condition of the corn crop declined slightly and was reported as 11% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 69% good to excellent. Winter wheat planting has begun and 1% of acres are planted compared to 3% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week, and the weather across most of the state was typical for this time of year. Corn dented or beyond reached 94%. Corn mature was at 49%, and that's 2 days behind the five-year average. Corn harvested for grain was reported at 1% complete. Corn condition was 3% very poor, 7% poor, 28% fair, 48% good, and 14% excellent. Soybean coloring reached 93%. Soybean dropping leaves was at 61%, and that's 4 days behind average. Soybean harvested was at 4%. Soybean condition was 2% very poor, 6% poor, 28% fair, 51% good, and 13% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across their regions. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Right now is a great time for you to take a moment to dial this number, 217-244-9455, or to go online at willgive.org. In either case, make sure if you're pledging your support to the ag programming at Illinois Public Media, and I hope that really is the case, to let them know that in the comments section you put in support of ag, or when you're talking with somebody, that you tell them in support of agriculture. The station wants to know, I want to know, and certainly you want them to know that is the case as well. However, more importantly, this is our 100th year on the air. We went on the air April the 6th, 1922, with an ag broadcast, and we've been doing it ever since. I think it's important to the state of Illinois, to the entire Midwest. Agriculture is one of the nation's largest industries, and the farmers, landowners, and those that work the land in all kinds of ways are really important, and we strive very, very hard to give you the very best information each and every day. I hope it makes a difference to you. If it does, how about a $100 bill, or $120, or $240, or $400, or $640? I like that number a lot, too. $40, whatever you can pledge, that would be great at 217-244-9455, or at willgive.org. It's a Tuesday. We always check in with Dan O'Brien. He's at Kansas State University, an agricultural economist there out in the far northwestern part of the state. Are things still dry to begin with there?
Yes, they are. We caught anywhere from 4/10 of an inch to 1.5 inches in different places. But however, we had enough soil moisture deficit in these areas, and that's the same story as stretching from western and southern Kansas on down to Oklahoma and Texas, eastern Colorado. You know, just awfully, awfully dry. That a lot of damage to really pretty minimal non-irrigated crops, dry land crops, in a lot of areas. We're really putting the dry in dry land this year, but for irrigated crops, we're still hopeful that we'll get some decent. Decent yields. High temperatures during July no doubt impacted some pollination, tasseling pollination, reproductive. So we just have to get in the fields and see how it all works out.
Fall wheat sowing across Kansas going okay?
It's going to, it starts here in earnest in October. So we're just on the brink of it. And the debated question, and maybe we should do Las Vegas odds on this in terms of whether we'll plant more or less. it's a great year to plant wheat, except we just don't have much moisture. You know, the prices are great, a lot of things going for it. We just don't have much moisture. My take is that we'll probably wait as long as we can to try to avoid just dusting, wheat seed in and get some moisture in. If not, I wouldn't be surprised. We still plant quite a bit of as much or more as we planted last year, but just because, again, we have a crop insurance price of $8.79 for winter wheat, and in Kansas, so that's a pretty attractive cash flow hedge, I guess.
I want to stay with that for just a second. Does it pay to go ahead and plant a crop there with crop insurance if it's covered, and have to tear it up? Does that still make some financial sense?
Well, $8.79. I guess following my old distinguished colleague Art Barnaby, who when we look at an $8.79, if you and figure that for 70, say you choose 75% APH out here, if you get full coverage on 75% of your bushels, then if you spread that out to 100% of your bushels, and basically take a 0.75 times 879, you're about 640, 650, 620, something like that. And you're in the mode, you're in the area of break even cost coverage. Now that's not an attractive way to go. People would rather put the crop in and get bushels and get high price. That seems to be likely to be available this year, but given that price and that type of approach could be something. In fact, if they're willing to pay a little bit more, and they will pay for it because of the way insurance subsidies go. If they pay 80%, or if they go over the 80% APH or so, then you're 750, 770, something like that. Taking that 879, spreading it out over all your APH yields, and you're in a little better situation. But that's the type of financial risk management calculus algebra that we're doing right now. When you in a dry situation, if it endures, do you plant a wheat crop in now that may or may not survive? If it doesn't, you can still live to fight another day if perhaps you get moisture out in the spring. And if it comes through, you get money coming in July, arguably in this part of the world, as opposed to waiting all the way to fall, and probably less money invested in fertilizer. And some of the expensive inputs that we have. So there are some financial advantages to looking towards wheat this year. But the optimal plan A would be to have moisture and go forth. But we're out there evaluating the B's and C's and D's when you dote, and seeing how you can still financially survive.
Even here, where we generally plant just two crops, corn and soybeans, A, B, C, and D, as the plans are in the evaluation mode, I'm almost positive. We're talking with Dan O'Brien this afternoon. He's at Kansas State University, an agricultural economist. I want to remind you now to dial in at this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or to go online at willgive.org, W-I-L-L. give.org, and make a donation, a pledge of support for the agricultural programming that you hear each and every business day of the year from Illinois Public Media. We work really hard to bring you analysts like Dan, Wayne Nelson, and Don Day, who are our Tuesday regulars. We thank all of them for what they do, and we'd like you to make a donation because I think it probably makes a difference in your back pocket as well. I'm sure it does. I hope it does. If that's the case, $100 would be fantastic. This is our 100th year on the air. WILL AM 580 has been on the air since April the 6th of 1922. The very first broadcast was agriculture, and we're still carrying agriculture each and every business day of the year. 217-244-9455 or willgive.org. Dan O'Brien, we probably should discuss the energies, which is what we're supposed to do. What's the ethanol market look like at this time?
Ethanol prices, if you kind of focus on Iowa ethanol prices, and again, we're kind of catching both the east and the west. Prices pretty much have been moving sideways from through July, June, July, and August, and down to September. A little bit more variation, but still pretty much sideways at about a 250 average. So that's interesting to see here of late in the month of September so far, basically running from the first of the month to the 23rd, taking what information we have. Pardon me, we have a September average price of about 241 and a half. By our calculations, looking at the costs, we're at about 251, so we're down about a dime. The one thing I wonder on in the models that we're looking at, I always wonder if we're giving adequate credence to some of the corn oil sales that come out of the ethanol process. So we're showing without corn, without some other additional byproduct sales, in addition to DDGs, a loss of about 10 cents and going forth. The big issue that caught everybody's attention is the drop off in the pace of ethanol production that happened in the most recent week, the week ending September 23rd, and down to 901 million barrels a day. And that's I think it just remains to be seen. Was that drop off due to again waiting for the next crop to come, an end of the old crop marketing year, plant clean out mode, or refurbishing, maintenance, I guess would be better terminology, or are we waiting for the bulk of corn to come in, for prices to lower some, and for ethanol to go forth? The fear, as you're aware, my good friends in Illinois ag economics are fully aware of, is that I wouldn't say worried, but we're mindful that higher interest rates and economic slowdown would impact gasoline demand. If that's the case, then by the time we talk 1 month from now or 2 months from now, as we would hope, will we see ethanol prices weaken because of slowing demand for fuels? If that's the case, then I guess we'll have to see what impact that would have on the profitability of the ethanol industry. But it would sure raise concerns that we could see a diminishing of profitability, even from these levels, where we're down 5-10 cents. That's even worse if the economic slowdown comes and demand takes a hit.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care, Todd. We appreciate the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. The weather has been good here for harvest in Logan County. Tell me a little bit about weather conditions where you are and what we can expect across the Midwest.
Well, what we're going to see across the lower 48 states over the next week is going to be two areas where there's going to be some active weather. And in between those areas, there really won't be much going on. And one of those areas is a large part of the Midwest and Corn Belt. We're going to see Ian go up into Florida, bringing hurricane conditions to there, and then very heavy rain will go through Georgia, the Carolinas, and we may see some of that rain get into the extreme eastern and southeastern areas of the Corn Belt. But as you go into the central Corn Belt, most of Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, large part of Nebraska, up in Wisconsin, Minnesota, boy, I tell you, we just don't see precipitation chances really being very high. So we're going to continue to have good harvest weather conditions. The other area of interest will be out west, the Rockies and the far western high plains. We'll have some areas of rain and thunderstorm activity developing this weekend and early next week, but that storm is kind of stalled out and is not going to go very far eastward. So the middle part of the nation is going to be actually one of the quietest places weather-wise across a good part of North America.
Hey, thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.